in 2 Timothy 3:17 that the man of God, that the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Without right nourishment, you will run to and live on false nourishment.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone. Today on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill continues his study in the New Testament epistle of Philippians with the conclusion to the message, The Ultimate Goal. Let's listen in now.
Lay aside every weight, anything that would hinder the believer from running the race of faith, which is the race of life, the ultimate goal. Now listen, he says, lay it aside, man, get rid of it. And here it comes, and the sin, which so easily ensnares us or traps us. There's only one sin that the writer of Hebrews is talking about there. And that sin, that particular sin, is a sin of unbelief. You cannot run the race unless you believe God. Amen? And the promises of God. I'll tell you, here's what will happen. On that course that you have, that race that God has laid out for you, I'm going to tell you what happens with unbelief. It will stop you from running. It'll stop you right there on the racetrack of life. Do you understand? And that's that sin. And he says, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Here it comes. How do we run the race? We're looking to the right person, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. We have to look at the right person. And also, and when we look at the right person, we find the right purpose, which is the prize. Oh man, the prize of that upward calling, loved one. And that's not talking about salvation, because we're already saved. And salvation is not a prize. Salvation is a gift. You understand? It's like if I pulled out $100 out of my wallet, which I do not have, and I gave it to you, okay? Well, it would be a gift, wouldn't it? You didn't earn it. You didn't ask for it. You mean it's free? No, I'm not asking for anything in return? It's a gift. That's what the Lord does. Salvation is a gift. It's not a prize. The prize comes at the end, loved one. And boy, what a great prize it is. So Paul the Apostle, again, boy, he is pressing, again, straining every nerve in his body, if you will, to reach the ultimate goal. So Paul is saying, I'm running for the prize that's going to last for all eternity. And we know what that marker is. It's the goal line at the end of the race. Paul the Apostle, remember right before he was dying, the last epistle, or before his death, before Nero had his head removed, he writes to Timothy, and he tells Timothy about the finish line. He says this in 2 Timothy 4:7. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Do you know one day we're all going to say that? I have finished the race. He says, oh, I kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness. That's that glorification, if you will, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. There at the Bema seat of Christ. And he says, not to me only, but also all who have loved his appearing. So he tells Timothy, he's writing to Timothy, he says, listen, man, my race is over. I'm being poured out as an offering. He says, and you know what? I see the finish line. I'm almost there. He says, and it's a good fight. Isn't it a good fight? Oh, loved one, listen. Oh, listen, our race is not finished, and we can run this race in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the a newness of life, if you will. And then he says, therefore, let us. Now he's speaking to all the church at Philippi and to us as well. Therefore, let us, as many as are what? Mature, spiritually mature, have this mind or have this attitude. I want you to think this way. He says, and if in anything you think otherwise, if you have a different attitude about it, he says, God will reveal even this to you. Now listen, he says, therefore let us. Loved one, listen. You have to run. If you're going to reach the ultimate goal, then you have to run with the right people. You know, when I was growing up, it's like, you know, I would hear that expression, you're running with the wrong people. You know, you ever heard that? Do you still say that today? I don't know. But anyway, they did when I was growing up. You know, you're running with the bad bunch and that you're going to get in trouble or whatever. You know, so Paul is saying right there, he says, you got to go. I remember my old pastor, he'd always say, Bill, you got to go with the goers. And that's exactly what Paul is saying. You got to, if you're going to run this race, hook yourself up with people that are running the race. Amen. Don't hook yourself up with people that are not running the race unless you can get them to run with you. You know, there's something about us, all of us together. And, you know, the devil is doing everything he can, and not here, but everywhere, every church, to divide the body. Oh, because of the COVID or because of the elections and all the nonsense that we're not even supposed to be. Man, listen, I don't care. I care about one thing, God's house, not any other house. Amen? That's where the power is. If we would all get on our face before God, we wouldn't have to start passing laws. Do you understand me? Yeah, if the church would get on its face and seek God, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, I tell you, all things will be added unto us. You know, we don't need the laws of man. We want the law and the rule and the justice of Almighty God. His is perfect. Amen? So it says, let us come together. Listen, have you ever worked out? You can tell that I haven't worked out since the COVID, okay? That's about October. It's like, okay, I don't care. You know, I look at the treadmill and I go, okay, that's enough. But when I used to work out, you know, Becky and I, in the early days, we worked out every day. And I remember, you know, again, Paul is talking about athletes, okay, you know, spiritual athletes. But have you ever noticed that, say, let's take weightlifting. Have you ever noticed that weightlifters, they like to have other weightlifters working out with them? Why? Remember how they would, if you've ever done, okay, let me spot you, man. I don't want this thing to fall down on your neck and kill you, you know. You know, when I was in high school, now they're trying to change the name, but our coach, you know, we were so poor, you know, Keller was poor. It's not poor now, but back then there was only like 90 kids in high school. You understand? We didn't have, and of course we were all football players, man. And so, but you know, we didn't have money. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was, and so the coach, what we did, he would, you know, those 5-gallon barrels, you know, well, he'd pour concrete in them, put a steel pole, turn them over and pour the other one, and that's how we did our workout. That's the truth. You think I'm kidding you? And then you would be lifting, I mean, you know how much weight that is? And then he would stand on your stomach while you were doing that. His name was Berman Corbell. Nightmares still go, you know. You see, we need to work out together. We spot one another. We, you know, if okay, this is too much. Okay, let me help you. That's what Paul is saying right here. That encouragement that we need with one another. But then he says, look what he says. But if any think otherwise. In other words, okay, you don't have this mindset. In other words, you have stopped running. You're no longer pursuing. You're no longer reaching out and straining. You're not doing it. And Paul is, what he's really saying in this verse is this. He's saying, you know what? There's not any Christian, God did not save one person to be a spectator. Do you understand that? But a participator. He says, no, you've got to get back in the race, man. He says, you've got to get back in it now. And you know what's one of the problems with the 21st century is this, TV. You know what I mean by TV? You know, it's like talking about athletics. You know, I like to watch a good football game every now and then, don't you? Okay. Whatever you watch, I don't know. I'm talking to this side because I know that you're like me. You know? No, listen. You know, you watch a good football game and oh, you're cheering them on, but they're doing all the work. They're sweating. You're not sweating. You're eating pizza or chicken wings and, you know, or getting, yeah, you know what I'm saying? No, listen. You see, the world is training the church to be spectators. because we watch the basketball, we watch the baseball, we watch this and this. And listen, but we don't participate. And then we bring that attitude into the church. There are no spectators here. We are all participators because we're all in the body of Christ and we all have an individual function. Amen? Oh, we have to run this race, loved one. He says, nevertheless, to the degree that we've already attained or that we've reached this level of maturity, if you will. Look what he says. He says, he uses the word we. Then he goes, let us, talking about the church, let us walk, how? By the same rule, and let us be of the same mind. Now, we know what mind that is. It's the mind of Christ. Amen? But he says here, you need to be guided and led now by what you've learned so far. And when he says, let us walk, he's talking about a group of people, of course, the church, that are on one path all together, and they're all in step after step. We're in unison. We're moving forward. We're running this race. And listen, here's what I've learned. You know, you don't have to wear those Nike shoes to run the race. You just have to just look at Jesus, amen, and he's going to get you home. But here's the deal. Look at it again. Let us walk by the same what? Rule. Now listen, we run this race by following the right rules. And it's only one, it's God's way, amen? And that's the only way that it can happen. He says, in the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:5, Paul says, listen, if anyone competes in athletics, there's that word, see, he's always using those metaphors. He says, he's not crowned unless he competes, unless he fights, he struggles. In other words, he's got to participate. He says, according to the rules. Isn't that amazing? In other words, God's way. The Bible tells us, we just read it in Hebrews 12:1, it says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, meaning a pre-appointed, preordained race for every individual believer. You have your own preordained racetrack that God says, this is your life, this is your destiny, this is the plan that I have for you. These are the giftings that you're going to discover that I've already put in you. So we need to do those things. Love when we have to follow the rules. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:24, he says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run? That's true, Paul. Everybody's running. He says, but only one person, only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. In other words, the ultimate prize. Oh. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. In other words, you eat right, you have discipline, you work out or whatnot. And he says, they're temperate in all things. Now they, not us, they, he's talking about the Greek games, okay? He says, they do it to obtain a perishable crown. Can you imagine the Olympics and, you know, you just get a little wreath for your head or something? I mean, that's it? You know, a garland, or isn't that what they call it? And then, you know, then it dies or something? Man. After all that hard work, he says, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Boy, the rewards at the end of the goal line, the things that God has for us. He says in the next verse in 1 Corinthians 9, he says, therefore I run thus. He goes, and I run thus not with uncertainty. He says, thus I fight. How many believers, and I say this with such love, how many believers run the race today with uncertainty, uncertain of God's love, uncertain of God's grace, uncertain of God's provision, uncertain of God's promises? Oh, listen, you know, look at so many believers today that run around, but they're running in circles, or they're running in the wrong direction, and they're running away from the Lord. And you know why? The major reason that some believers are in that condition is because they are running on empty. Do you understand? They are running on empty. If you're going to run the race and reach the ultimate goal, loved one, listen, you have to have the right nourishment. Amen? Jesus said this when he was defeating the devil there in the garden of temptation. What did he say in Matthew 4:4? He said, man shall not live by what? By bread alone, okay? That won't sustain you. He says, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That is our nourishment. Romans 12:2. Paul in verse 1, what does he say? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, remember? And then in verse 2, he says, and do not be conformed to this world. Don't be squeezed into the, let the world squeeze you into their fashion statement or their thinking and so forth, into their mold. He says, oh no, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That's we get our word metamorphosis. He says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Now listen, there are only two type of runners in this world, and they run with only two kinds or types of minds, okay? And that is this. One is being transformed to the things of God, and the other one is being conformed to the things of this world. And here's the deal. Whichever one you feed the most nourishment to is the one who's going to win. Amen? Oh, listen. An unarmed mind, an unrenewed mind is a dangerous, dangerous thing, loved one. And you cannot run the race unless you get into the Word of God. It has to become your daily food, your daily nourishment. Next Sunday, or the Lord willing, I'm going to talk about an individual who wrote an article in the Star Telegram that said that the Bible is not the true Word of God. But he was saying part of this is true and part of it's not. Listen, if the Word of God is not all true and all God and all from heaven, then how do you know which one is true and which one is false? It's all true. Amen? How do I know that? Well, Jesus said, John 17:17, he said, thy word is truth. And then how about 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God or from God. All, every one of it. I'm talking about the original writings. Amen? Amen. Now, he says, and it's profitable. It's profitable for doctrine. In other words, it's profitable, meaning what is right for your life. It's not only that, it's profitable for reproof, what's not right for your life. It's profitable for correction, how to get right, and for righteousness, how to stay right. Amen? The Bible. Listen, the Word of God, boy, that is what we need. You know, the purpose of all of it, it says in 2 Timothy 3:17 that the man of God, that the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Without right nourishment, you will run to and live on false nourishment, and it'll never get you where you need to go. You know, when I first started in the ministry, I had a little, not even this big, just like that, and it was a little booklet, and that's how I taught. I would, back then, you know, I didn't have a computer. And matter of fact, no one had a computer, unless I guess it was a scientist or something. And, you know, I'd make all my notes. And then if there were certain other things, I would take clippings. And I was looking through it, and I fell across there in my office a clipping from a newspaper that I'd taken out in 1985, 87, right in that area. And I thought, wow, how perfect to share this about the sermon today. And let me just read a few things from it. The gentleman's name is Rick Hansen. He's a Canadian, and when he was 15 years old, he was on his way home from a fishing trip with his friends. He was sitting in the back of the truck, and they had an automobile accident, and he was thrown from the truck, and his spinal cord was severed, and he was paralyzed at 15 from the waist down. So he went through rehab, but he didn't quit. He just kept going through, and then he got involved in wheelchair sports, okay? It says, and later he became the first person with a physical impairment to graduate with a degree in physical education from the University of British Columbia. Now, after that, he kept going on in sports and so forth. It says that Rick won 19 wheelchair marathons, 3 world titles. And then in 1985, Rick Hansen, it says, left Vancouver, and he did something. He made a vow. He said, I have a goal. He says, I have the ultimate goal. And he says, I vow that I'm going to circle the globe in my wheelchair, and I'm going to raise money for spinal cord research. So at the age of 29 years old, he sets out, and he goes through 34 countries on his wheelchair. He covers 25,000 miles. He actually covers more than the circumference of the earth. He turned his wheelchair, his wheels, 16.4 million times. Man, he wheeled himself, it says, across the Swiss Alps. He met then Pope John Paul II. He ascended in his wheelchair and all the way across the Great Wall of China. And then 2 years he has done this, 2 long years, he began, it says in the news clipping, his final push across Canada. And he, remember, he was hoping to raise money. Now, he's not far from home. And he only has raised now, when they told him, $129,000 after 2 long years. It says in the article, however, by the time he reached his home, we're going home, aren't we? Yes, one day. By the time he reached his home in Vancouver, British Columbia, school children and workers, housewives, it says, on May 22nd, 1987, I don't know why I got emotional. Isn't that weird? Man, it says, Rick arrived home. He crossed the goal line. He crossed the finish line from his world tour. When he got home, they told him from that brief time when he started going across Canada that he had now raised $26 million. Whew. Now listen, what is your goal? Think about that. You know, Paul died running the race. And you know what? You must run the right race to end up in the right place. Amen? There's just no other way. Paul said, hey, I don't run with uncertainty. I know where I'm going. My eye is upon the author and the finisher of my faith, and I will cross that ultimate goal one day. And what is the ultimate goal? You ready for it? Very simple, to be home with Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. The upward call, the upward heavenly call. Amen? That's the prize, to be with the Lord. Just think, you're going to meet the Lord. You're going to meet God. Do you understand? Think about that. Heaven is real. Loved one, this is not our home, but we are reaching one day to the ultimate goal. And here's the deal. I want to ask you a question. Are you running? Is anyone here, you go, you know what, Bill, I'm running in the wrong direction. Well, then why don't we change that? Why don't you start running in the right direction? Amen? Amen? Father, we thank you for this word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we want the ultimate goal and that our eyes are fixed upon Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. Listen, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, you know what, you can come to him right now, right where you're sitting. You know, you can ask Christ to be the Lord of your life and you can get in the race, because if you're not running the race for Jesus, you are running in the wrong direction and it will take you where you do not want to go. So quickly, as our heads are bowed and every believer praying, listen, if you don't know the Lord, why don't you just lift your hand and say, Bill, pray for me. I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. I want to be saved. Anyone at all? I just have to ask in this early service, anyone at all now? Well, Father, I'm going to believe that in this early service, everyone is saved. Now, I don't need to look into anyone's heart, because that's your job, Lord. But they know if they're truly running the race of faith or not. And Lord, if there's anyone here that's, they've been knocked off course, they've been, well, they're stalled, Lord, on the race of faith. They're stalled. Maybe it's their past. You know, they've been looking all the things behind them and they're hurting. Lord, without raising hands or anything, would you just move upon those hearts right now that are not running the race? And by your love and by your grace, would you get them back on track? I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you that one day, by your grace and your goodness and your mercy and Jesus Christ who paid for our sins, one day he's coming for us. And we, when we see him, we will be like him forever and ever. In Jesus' name I pray. And the church says,
Pastor Bill's Philippians series continues when we return tomorrow. And we do hope you'll join us once again. Thanks, everyone, for spending some of your day with us. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. So long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.